We all love mob movies. Scarface, The Godfather, the list goes on and on. But there's one movie that speaks to me above all others. Donnie Brasco starring Johnny Depp. In season one of Deep Cover, we discovered the real story behind Donnie's time undercover with the New York Mafia and what it was like spending 6 years with some of the wildest wise guys you'll ever come across. I'm your host, Leo Rossi, and I've spent my life behind and in front of the cameras creating stories about the mob. This season, we're going even deeper into the Donnie Brasco story. We'll learn more about the man behind the persona, Joe Pistone, and his time as the most decorated undercover agent in FBI history.
This week on Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco. We take listen to another never-before-heard tape from Joe's undercover days. This time, it's a conversation from 1978 between him, Lefty Two Guns Ruggiero, and fellow undercover agent Tony Conti.
Hello, everybody, all the listeners out there. This is Leo Rossi of Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco, and I am here with Joe Pistone, the living legend. How you like that, huh, Joe? How you doing?
Hey, Leo. I'm doing fine. How about you?
Good, good, good.
I may be living, but I don't know about being a legend, but I'm living.
That's half the battle, Joe. Now, I will tell the listeners out there, you've been asking, requesting the original recorded tapes, whether Joe was wearing a wire or wiretaps. They call them overhears. And we are going to devote this whole show to taped conversations with Joe Pistone, a.k.a. Donnie Brasco, Lefty Two Guns Ruggiero, and another undercover agent whose name on the street was Tony Conti. And Joe will explain more of that. But just as a little levity, I was out jogging today and the people from Manscaped were kind enough to, you know, give me T-shirts and shirts. And I had the T-shirt on today and I am getting all these looks and I'm going, what the heck? Well, I had negated to really look what it said on the back. And it says something to the effect of, yes, Manscaped always keeps your balls clean. And I wondered why I was getting these looks. But c'est la vie to the old folks, right?
Leo, at least you're out advertising one of our sponsors while you're running.
Yeah, that's all I had. That's all I have to do. A couple of coppers stopped me. Wait. Did you ever hear of upsetting the laws, pal? What? What are you talking about? All right. We are going to start with the tapes. Now, Casey is with us, and Casey has broken down the tapes. Some are a little, you can understand, maybe they're just a little static. Others are very clear. And when I don't understand what Lefty means, I'm going to simply say stop. And I'm going to ask Joe what was being said because I didn't understand. And I'm basically a confused individual anyway. So I'm going to be stopping a lot. And I think you people will be on the page with me. Okay, let the tapes roll.
1978, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is an automobile tape. Conversation amongst Donnie Brasco, Lefty Ruggiero, and Tony Conti.
That you're in the car. But that beeper you got on you, it's the most fantastic thing going. Yeah.
Can we stop? That was pretty cool, Joe. That's what you have to, every time you send one of those tapes in, you have to do the identification of who you're with and, you know, your special agent, Joseph D. Pistone. That's very cool. To giving the time frame away, he mentions, Mr. Lefty Two Guns, he mentions beepers. Now, did you always carry a beeper back then, Joe?
If you remember, the cell phones at that time were as big as a small Volkswagen. So it was hard carrying the cell phones that we had. I mean, you remember the first. They were gigantic. Yeah, no, they were like the military, you know, the military field phones. So we were in Milwaukee, actually. Tony was running an undercover operation in Milwaukee. The idea was to bring the Bonanos out there to see if we could marry up with the Milwaukee mafia family, the Balestrieri's. So Tony's showing us around. We're in Tony's car, and he's showing us around Milwaukee, driving us around. And basically what Lefty's telling them, you know, you always have to be in touch, maintain contact with me, with Donnie, maintain contact with Lefty and with his customers. And the beeper was the best way to do it.
And Tony Conti, that's his street name on this, right?
Yeah, that's his undercover name.
And early on in our shows, you had said that you had the first right of refusal to work with an undercover agent that you either hadn't worked with before or didn't feel comfortable with. Is that the situation with Tony?
That was a situation. I had my rule that if I was asked to bring in another undercover agent or work with one, I wanted to make sure it was somebody that I knew. And if I didn't know him, somebody that got a good vouch from another undercover that I knew. Because, you know, you're taking your life in your hands and you save your own life in the undercover business. But Tony, I knew. I worked with him on other undercover cases. I knew who he was. I knew how good he was. That's why I hooked up with him out there.
Well, I'll tell you, his Chicago accent was certainly authentic. I mean, he had that in spades, man. He was right there. All right. If we could continue.
Yeah. There it is. Now what I got him, I leave. I dial a number. It's 1240.
Can we stop?
All
right. Joe, where was the wire?
Well, Leo, I can't give away where they hire wires in the cars.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The car was wired. What more do you want?
No, it was wired. Of course it was. And I just love that Lefty is like he's coming across as the ultimate businessman. It's really something. But as we'll see more in this conversation, he is a bulldog when he bites into something.
That he is.
Okay. If we could continue.
Right now, somebody called you. All you tell the people, if it's an important call, now you pull over the side, you make your phone call. That's what I want. If somebody has a machine that goes bad, call me right away. Bro, how are you going to find that out? You're going to be like, say, like now, right? Yeah. Say you got 50 machines out. Four of them broke. You're riding around with us.
Right.
You will know till tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you got that beeper. Well, you shoot right over there. You see the problem.
Yeah.
Good idea. That's a very good idea. Every successful business man has got it.
Can we stop? Lefty, I forgot to mention, is very modest, too, isn't he? He's telling everybody how to be a successful businessman. What a character, man.
And entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. What was his famous line when you said something to him and you were setting him up for something? He interrupted you and said, Joe, you know how I knew that? What did he say?
I'm drawing a brain freeze here.
Joe, I got ESPN. I know, Joe. I know these things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And that's been a running joke ever since. What he's telling us, Tony, there is that when he gets beeped from one of the customers, all you got to do is pull over to a payphone and call him back.
His redundancy is like off the charts. All right, if we could continue, please.
I give you a beeper. You put it on your side. You and the doctors have got. Yeah, that's a beeper.
Yeah.
Now you know. You tell your people, your customers. You know if you say you can't get me.
Yeah.
When you dial that number, it'll buzz me, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
I got you. Have to get off the road to get a phone. That wasn't going to take you 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Are they that expensive, Donnie?
No.
As a matter of fact, they can't. That's more business for them.
sick of that. I got the call forwarding, and then I got the three-way combination.
Yeah, but from like, New York.
But like Lefty says, though, if you're in a restaurant for 10 hours, 2 hours,
what
is that, right?
Yeah.
I got the three-way, too.
This way. Last night you killed a couple hours, 4 or 5 hours at the airport.
Yeah.
But you don't know if you're going to be called.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that thing would have beat you right there. Now you would have made all the calls, your transactions on the phone. Look, I'm tied up for 4 hours, but I'll be in.
Could we stop? Oh, does he go on and on and on? Did you ever really just want to reach over and choke him? No, don't answer that. Don't answer that.
I cannot count the times.
Okay. Can we continue?
Of course. You know, he calls from New York. I talked to him. I said, just a minute, I can call you. California, and all three of us can talk.
I got that deal.
Good.
I'm thinking about getting that week, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, do that right away. We'll book it up on one day.
You don't have a home on this day?
No.
Can we stop? Lefty is commenting. You made the first comment about a guy on a motorcycle not wearing a helmet, Joe?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to have Lefty, and we'll get Lefty's slant on what he thinks about people wearing helmets and motorcycles. Continue, please.
They don't want to wear the helmet.
Most places, no, they don't have to wear it. Illinois,
I'd say I'd never get on one without a helmet.
I wouldn't get on one with them. God, the bucks are
different. Yeah. I wouldn't want to wear a helmet. You ever put down on one?
What are you going to do?
First thing to hit with your head.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, at least that helmet takes up a shot.
Of course, that shares in the company.
You're always thinking. What is that helmet
going to
do to you?
Stop, please. Stop. Oh, he's so eloquent, Lefty. He ain't going to wear a helmet. He's a fatalist, Joe. He doesn't.
Yeah, well.
You're telling him what I would say. You know, hey, dangerous. I said, I got dope. You got to get a hit. You got to be in the street. You'll be dead.
You know? I don't think he ever rode on a bike, so.
Yeah, it's easier for him to say. All right. Yeah. Can we continue?
Let me explain something to you. In all the spots that you've gone in, you see these machines. Are they the same owner?
No.
Not the same owner.
In other words,
different outfits owners.
Yeah. You look at the license on one machine, be one company, and go to another place, maybe another company.
These are different companies.
And sure, it's not one guy with other different names? It could be. I don't know.
What catch your fire?
One of the big things they asked me when I applied for the license, the license people asked me to swear that I'm getting the license for me, not for somebody else.
Then there is
in the police department, you have to go down to the police department, they fingerprint you, they fill out a form, they ask you again, are these licenses for you or for somebody else?
You say no, it ain't this, right? This town is connected to.
Stop, please. Something comes out in this, Joe. Lefty's pumping him for the info. And then Lefty says, if I heard it correct, then this town is connected.
Exactly.
Meaning
that when he means connected is that the mob is in town. The mob is running the town. The mob is running the machines and in the stops and the bars and the restaurants. When he says connected, that's what he's talking about.
All right.
One person controlled the whole. See, he knew right away from being a monster himself. Even though they had several different machines in an establishment under different license name, he knew that one, it all goes back to one connected guy.
All right. Yeah. Lefty sniffed that out. All right. Could we continue?
Better believe it. Put up to say that day.
That hit me, everybody, that's what they all want to know. This, and they have to swear to me, know to me.
Oh, that's all right, that's all right.
Yeah, well, I swear to you, it's true. But in this case, it's true. It's a beautiful big shopping center here. Only billions.
Billions.
Pianos and organs. Now, there's money here. It goes on like this for 2-3 more miles. Hotels, restaurants. They got all the
clothes. Before we get out of here, I got to give you 4 or 5 numbers, phone numbers. Then you put your machines in. Anybody approaches you, know who you're talking to. This is important. But Donnie, listen to this. You're talking to the owner of a machine company. You say, who are you? You represent people? Because I say I'm the owner. Or if you're the owner, I got a partner from New York City. But if you're not the owner, I'm not going to mention names. If you want to give me a name, he'll contact you.
Could we stop?
I know before we should make
so mistake. Lefty's laying out a plan here of how he can flex the muscles of New York, yeah?
Well, what he's laying out is how the mob works. You go into the place and somebody gives you a problem and you ask him, are you the owner? And if a guy says, no, well, I want to talk to the owner. Do you know somebody? Give me the name of somebody. And if the guy gives you the name of somebody, you tell him, okay, you tell him to call this guy in New York. That's who I'm representing.
And who is that guy?
Well, it's going to be Lefty, a representative of the Bananos.
As the thing, okay.
Whoever it is in Milwaukee, I mean, we know who it is. Whoever the wise guy is in Milwaukee, he starts leaning on Tony. And Tony says, if you're connected, then here, you call my guy in New York. And that's a sign, not a physical sign, but that's a clue that, hey, I'm connected in New York.
Uh-huh. That is leverage. When you're dealing with anybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're with the mob in New York. Okay.
Who you with? That's the thing. Who you with?
Who you with? Oh, I heard that in movies a lot.
Before you make a mistake, you tell them. Because soon you're too old, right? For somebody to be contacted here. That's what they're doing now in New York. The right owner comes over, and you can see if he's a wise guy or something like that. Yes. I know this man of a lot of years, been out of New York City. He's partners with a partner of mine. We put the fucking machine. You want his name? I'll give you his name. Contact New York, and they'll tell you who he is. I set an appointment up. He'll fly in. Or if you got somebody in New York City, contact them in New York City, and they'll get in touch with him.
But this is the owner of the company.
Right. Any individual, just say, look, he says, he tells you, get your phone machine out. Hey, look, don't make a mistake and tell me things like that. I'm asking you in a nice way, get in touch with you, gotta get in touch with you. I got a name. You don't want to come up with a name? Well, then get somebody to come and see me. I'm not too hard to find. Here's my number.
Yeah.
And you show him I got a beep or two, whatever the fuck it is. You can give me 20 hours a day. And I can make one phone call to New York City, have my man up here in 2 hours. Not alone that. If you got anybody in New York City, my man is very reputable, known in the five boroughs, known all over the country. Give me a name in New York City, he'll contact them there, and they'll both come out and straighten this thing up. You have no problems. So far, I just want to see what the rest of the situation will be. In the meantime, when I go back, I know I'll have to come right back here because she's coming up with her name. Yeah. I'll save all fucking problems. Why, this guy's girl is sick in L.A. Concentrate. The minute you put your spot, like that guy with the 30s in the playroom, you put your machines there, that's all. The first little fucking beep you get, I'll give you five different numbers in New York. Where'd it get me? Right up here.
Okay, can we stop?
Whoever's in charge of
it. Now, Joe, legally, he's setting up the potential of an extortion, yes?
No, not really. What he's doing, he knows that the town's connected. He knows that the restaurants and bars, that these machines belong to a connected guy, somebody in the mob. So what he's saying is, if the guy says, puts up a beef and he asks him, you tell the owner, you give me a call, I'll give him the name of my guy in New York, or tell the owner if he has a guy in New York, tell him to call this guy. And the guy is, the number would be Lefty. So it's not really an extortion. Yeah. It's just really to form a marriage and get our machines in these places too.
You must have been licking your lips on this one, man.
Yeah, well, because, we're dealing with another mafia family that we're trying to get close to. And what he's doing, he's explaining how the mob works. When you move in into another mob territory, how you handle it. You just don't go in, you know, roughshod. So he's setting up for a sit down or a meeting with who's ever running the operation in Milwaukee.
So up to now, this is going pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's going great for the investigation. And plus the fact he's given us a history lesson on how the mob works between families.
Beautiful.
Deep Cover will be right back after this short message. And we're back with Deep Cover.
All right, could we continue?
Take you, whoever's in charge in this town, because the move will be made. And I'll sit down with them right in front of you. Because what I see here, Donnie, is cool for everybody.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah? Sounds all right. If you're out, the home is $100,000.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm
in New York, you couldn't touch it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to judge it. See what I mean, Donnie?
Yeah.
And maybe one or two guys, syndicates, have got this. And they got to honor me.
Yeah.
Understand? The first words I would tell the guy in New York, whoever they call, you think I'm living away from me? Right? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You can't do that. The law of the land says you can't do it, no matter what part of the world we go. Right? They got my aunt. Right? Our main guy says, no matter where you go in this world, just give me one day's notice. He's in the can. Well, Mike, is it one day, and I'll get you somebody to see.
What are you doing on that?
Huh?
What are you gonna do on that?
I can't hear.
What are you gonna do on that?
Just what? Well, the 29th, you'll find out if he goes back up the rest of the 20 months, or they gotta release him. What's it look like? They're not gonna release him.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah.
He's gotta go back to Atlanta, Georgia.
Could we stop?
That's out of there.
Okay, so he's talking about the boss of the family?
Yeah, he's talking about the boss of the family, who at the time was Galenti. What he says is, look, if you have a problem and you got to talk to somebody, just give me the word and I can set up a meeting to sit down with you, whoever you got to sit down with in whatever town it is, whatever city or town it is. I mean, that's how much power back in the day these guys had throughout the country. I mean, it didn't make any difference. Long as you knew there was a family in a certain town, all you had to do was contact somebody in that family and you could get a sit down, you know, but it had to be through one of the top guys in the family contacting another, say the consigliere of one family contacting the consigliere of another family saying you want to have a sit down over a matter. And that's how it happened. That's the way it worked during the day.
I know that the major families, the five families in New York, Chicago was big, Boston was big, New Orleans, Florida. What about, and I had read a book a long time ago, Fratiano was a mobster from L.A. When you were under, did California, the L.A., San Francisco have any impact, mob-wise?
No, not really. Most of the guys who were out there were members of other families that were out there to try to get stuff going in the movie industry or other industries. But there were no real bosses out there. There were only a few guys from each family out there trying to get things going. New York back in the day, and today is still a hub. And back in the day, Chicago, Detroit, of course, Milwaukee had the Balestrieri family, which was pretty big because it was hooked up with Chicago. They never really had a major, major family in California. There were just members from several different families out there trying to get things going for the particular family that they were connected with.
There was always talk that, the couple mob guys got, in behind the scenes on the movie studio, the record business and all, but they were more or less freelancers representing a family out there, huh?
Yeah, they were doing it on behalf of the family that they were a member of. I mean, they weren't out cowboying it on their own, but there never was a family of, say, 150, 200 guys out there.
Not going to happen. Yep. Right at the end, I clipped it when I said stop, but I heard it. I don't know if the audience heard it. Lefty says, yeah, I got to get him a box of cigars. I got to get him some cigars.
The cigar, that was one of his nicknames because he smoked cigars.
Yeah, and as you let our audience know, that picture of Lilo when he was whacked at Joe and Mary's restaurant, that he had the cigar in his mouth. And the word on the street was that some friendly detectives put the cigar in his mouth. That's just the word on the street. Can't be verified.
stuck it back in. Kind of tough to get hit with a couple shotgun blasts and you don't let your cigar go, right?
I was always a little suspicious about that. Okay, thank you for the education, Joe. Can we continue?
I got to send him cigars. I got to get 4 or 5. Oh, smoke's the best. What? I forgot the name. It's a Cuban cigar. I got to get them. Because Mike, when he calls Mike every night, says, you know, how's the next bad boy too? This is all he went out to Milwaukee. Oh, yeah? All right. That's all he says. There, all right. He's got a lot of confidence in Mike at anything. So I got to take care of Mike. Understand? Yeah. It's important. Because I know he's strapped.
Mike, can we stop, please? Is that Mike Sabella that he's referring to?
Yeah, he's referring to Mike Sabella, who was our captain at the time, who was our capo. We were doing all this through Mike. We had to tell Mike the whole story. And then later on, actually, he set up the meeting with the Milwaukee family.
All right, let's continue.
Because I just told you what's the question. Yeah. Right now, we'll go back. You're going to entertain a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
Just going around. You know, when I sit in this fucking joint, you know, 200, you see, well, I don't have to tell you who. And then when he wants a favor, he has to leave.
Yeah.
Understand? That's why I got to keep on coming up with the fucking, just to keep him quiet. And once everything is set out over here, then he can branch out someplace else, you know? Because he's sincere.
Mike.
Very sincere. Yeah. You're not like anybody else. Very sincere person. You know what he likes about me? I was on the Bulls mess when I gave him my speedboat. I could have sold it. He'd do it.
How's he doing? He's like it?
Forget about it. It goes 72 on the water. Imagine going to 72 miles on the water. It's a fucking jet.
Stop, please. I guess this goes in the category of kicking up. I mean, or sucking up to his capo, right? Mike Sabella.
Yeah. More so sucking up than kicking up, you know.
It was a fucking jet, he said.
I never witnessed him giving him the speedboat, so, you know, that could have been a tall tale, too. I don't know, but I know Lefty did have a boat. He did know boats, and I learned later on that he did give Mike a boat, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's continue.
I got to take this jacket off. I got
over there.
Yeah. Donnie, you have to come back over here, Donnie.
Huh?
Listen to me. You might have to come back over here when you get out of my and give the Tony a hand, you know.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'll call up, you know, I keep in touch with him every day from LA, and I call you.
The question of keeping in touch. The question.
Well, I'm saying, you know, this way you know when I, you know, you want me to go back.
What are you going to do out in LA other than...
Well, once I see that, you know, she's right and everything, and...
Donnie, let's not kid ourselves. She lasted this long. She's going to be all right. Let's hope she's not just thinking. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I happen to like that girl.
Could we stop, please? All right. Now we bring another character into the conversation. A girl, which is... He's saying it's your girl, and at least she's not disfigured. Take me through this one, buddy.
Well, Leo, this was a very trying time in my undercover endeavor here. My wife had been in a serious car accident. She was in not too good condition for 11 days in the hospital. So in order for me to get out of there and get to see her, I told Lefty that my girlfriend in L.A. was in a car accident and she wasn't doing too good. And I, you know, once we got done in Milwaukee, I had to go to L.A. to see her. And that's how that conversation came about.
Wow. So once again, essentially told the truth. you know, to him, which is easier to remember than lies, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had to get home to see, you know, what was going on. And so I told the truth. I just, you know, talked around it as far as a car accident, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, thank God everything turned out on that. Could we continue?
What you could do, if she's able, she can't go back to work, right?
No, not for a couple of weeks.
So why don't you bring her in here and help Donnie set it up, Tony set it up?
I could do that, too. If you can travel.
You use your noggin, you know?
Yeah.
Travel. Fuck, she's going on a plane. She'd be happy, you know?
Yeah.
She's in the most beautiful place you got over here. That's gorgeous over there.
Yeah.
So you spend a week or two out here. You help Tony set it all up.
That's what I'll do then.
I can't see you laying out there because the girls are hot. Don't get me wrong. Because it's ridiculous.
Well, what I do is I just go out for a weekend and I come back Monday. How's that, Tom?
Talking to you, Tony.
Can we stop? Joe, he just paid you a big compliment. He paid Donnie a big compliment where he says, yeah, no, Donnie knows my style. That's a big thing. He's thinking you're thinking like him all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, by this time, I should have been thinking like him because I was with him, you know, 12, 15 hours a day. So if I wasn't thinking like a gangster by that time, I'd never get to think like one.
You know, listening to these tapes, did you let Al Pacino, who played Lefty in the movie, did you let him listen to the tapes or weren't they available then?
No. Al listened to the tapes. Yeah. I went to his apartment in the city and sat down and we went through the tapes. Yeah. He was very interested in hearing the tapes.
He had did a hell of a job and he did his homework.
Yes, he did. He should have won the Academy Award.
Yeah. Never could understand that. Different years and who's kissing somebody's ass and all that. All right. Could we continue, please?
You can help anyway.
Yeah.
Because you know more of my style of doing things, you understand?
Yeah.
You can answer if Tony ain't got the right answer.
Yeah. All right, that's what I do.
Listen, there's no problem, dude. If this is yours, we don't want it. But you ain't taking mine out.
Yeah.
Because my man won't stand for it. Give me a name, I'll give you his name in New York. You cut somebody. Because everybody their mother, right? You said we went to that butcher shop, right? Guy comes here. We went to Ohio. The guy come from New York, right?
Yeah. Everybody.
So everybody's got a fucking name. And Jesus Christ Almighty, I'm known all over the fucking world.
Can we stop? what did he just say? Jesus Christ Almighty, I'm known.
Said he's known all over the world. All over the world.
Oh, this guy.
Just mention my name in all the five boroughs. I'm known in all the five boroughs. I'm known in all over the country, and I'm known all over the world.
Oh, man. Lefty, Two Guns Ruggiero.
Leo, you don't believe that?
No.
Is that hard for you to believe?
I guess not. Okay, can we continue?
Back, 6-5 minutes. Takes you to no place and comes back. What they build a bridge for? They got some ideas. You know, they're gonna continue the expressway system. If they get off downtown, you're right here. Right downtown. I'm sure. I'll take you to the port. See, that's Lake Michigan. That's a lake. That's a lake. It looks like a fucking ocean. Yeah, that's what I say. 45, 50 miles. Look at the boats out there. The ships out there. From Europe, they bring them here. How the fuck could that be a lake? That's a some kind of fucking thing going on. It's a lake. It's a big lake.
Can you hold that?
Yes, hold it. Stop. I was laughing too hard. Go ahead.
Did you get that?
Well, he says
we're driving along and we're driving along the lake that Milwaukee is on.
Yep.
And we tell them that it's one of the great lakes, and you know, they had the big freighters out there. He says, that can't be the lake. It's got to be the ocean. So I said, left. Why do you say it's the ocean? It's a lake. It's one of the great lakes. He said, see that ship out there? That ship couldn't sail on a lake. It's too big. It only can sail in an ocean. So we turned one of the great lakes into an ocean.
It's just for the sake of the investigation. Now that brings up a point, Joe. These guys are streetwise, okay? They're streetwise. But did you find by and large that they really, like, with geography or I don't know, other things that people would know? The guy's asking if that's the ocean in the middle of America. Aye, Joe, is that commonplace? I mean, guy.
Let's face it. Most of the guys that I knew, they were five better cappers on the street, street smart. Maybe not so book smart. But, you know, I venture to say today, I don't know, do they teach geography anymore in schools?
You got a point there. But they're in their own little cocoon. They're in their own little world right there. Wow.
Yeah, well, look, that's his reasoning. He saw this big freighter, and how could a freighter that big float on a lake? There's not enough water in a lake, right?
That's right. That's, I guess, if we want to get down to it. Can we continue, please?
It's a lake. It's a big lake. It's an ocean. The loose freighter.
Get down there? Like the ocean. That's just what I said.
I stop here. Joe, you just broke his balls. You went along with this thing where you said, Donnie says, Maron, it looks like the ocean.
It looks like the ocean.
Yeah, and Lefty just said, I just said that. You just kept playing him. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So, Joseph D. Pistone, a.k.a. Donnie Brasco, I know it's a trip down memory lane for you. And I think our audience, they wanted to hear the real stuff and they wanted your take on it. They have it. I thank you, buddy. Until next time.
God bless.
Next week on Deep Cover, Joe decides to resurrect his career with the FBI. But will the agency he loved and left welcome him back with open arms? Keep listening to Deep Cover, The Real Donnie Brasco, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Monique Nethington, sound designer, Casey Franco, music and voiceover by me, Camille Stennis, and executive producers, Maddie Stout, Rudy Solo, and MBB Media for putting this episode together. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for more Deep Cover updates, plus exclusive photos and content.